107 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings, Monday style. Glad to have you here. Of course, championship football tonight at 7. We'll talk about that game, and you can vote online in the online opinion poll question. What do you think the outcome of tonight's game will be? You vote right now, fmtalk1065.com. And quick heads up here, too. The folks at CSpire and their CSpire Tech Movement are taking over the region because they say the Southeast and Mid-South can't compete for the technology jobs of the future without the proper resources or training. So the folks at CSpire are investing in the education, infrastructure, and people to make the Southeast and Mid-South number one in technology. Only 10% of our high schools teach AP computer science, so CSpire is teaming up with schools and public partners to give teachers the training and resources they need to teach it in their classrooms. They also set up coding programs and competitions to give students the opportunity to pursue careers they never thought possible. And because high-speed internet and technology is the foundation for economic development, CSpire is on a mission to deliver managed information technology services to more businesses in our region. The future is out there, and the CSpire Tech Movement is leading the way. Join the movement at CSpire.com/tech movement, but it's spelled T-E-C-H-M-V-M-T. CSpire.com/tech movement. All right, 808 FM Talk 106.5 text line. People agreeing with my brilliant analysis that all championship games should be played in New Orleans. I'm just saying that it would solve all problems. But no, listen, it's the question. It came off a story. Mercury News had it, and it was this lament about how the ticket prices in the secondary market are dropping for tonight's game. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that, you know, that's a long haul, you know, long, and yes, maybe, and this is going to sound, I'm not trying to make it sound jerky here, so, I mean, if it does, I'm sorry, but Bama fans and Clemson fans have been to these games before.
Yep.
And maybe if it was the first time for both teams in a long time, yeah, people would pack up the wagon, the Conestoga wagon, and head west out to San Francisco, but in this case, they got to go down to Miami, see that game, and now maybe a trip too far. And watching a game on TV is not a horrible thing.
No, not at all, especially with the 65-inch curved screen, HD, mm-hmm. 4K, 1000, you know, all the other stuff you can add on to the back end of those TV names that just make them unbelievable to watch. And then the price of concessions at home, way cheaper than the price of concessions, yes, at the game. But I wonder how empty the stadium will be, because also, you know, it's a 7 p.m. Central start, mm-hmm. so they're going to be getting started right after 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. when people are leaving work on the West Coast. So even if you're just a, you know, a standard college football fan that found some tickets for $150 a piece and you live out there, it's still going to take you a while to get into the game if you don't leave work until 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. I bet this might be the least attended game we've seen in a long, long time for the college football championship.
I'm very surprised that neither one of you have pointed out how disgusting the bathrooms are.
Where?
At stadiums compared to watching it from home.
But,
I mean, and how long the lines are. Oh, I know why. Because the guy lines are nowhere near the way it looks for women at stadiums.
There's some pretty long lines. They just move faster, the lines for the guys. But
and yeah, we know why.
And I'm sure, I don't know, in Santa Clara, that's a state-of-the-art new stadium. I'm sure you wouldn't want to exactly eat off the bathroom floor, but they've probably got that place looking pretty spiffy preparing for this championship game tonight. I'm really interested. I know a lot of people have tons of Bama and Clemson fatigue, but that's kind of the easy thing to say. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like saying LeBron James doesn't deserve the MVP anymore when he keeps putting up the stats that he puts up year after year. Mm. Just because you're tired of the people that are involved doesn't mean that they're not the best people the entire nation. And I think this is the best game in the last three meetings that we've had with Clemson and Alabama over the last 3 years. This is the best matchup yet, because they've had the defenses every year in and year out. They've had the defense. Each team has had a loss, whether it comes during that game or before the game. There hasn't been an undefeated college football playoff champion to this point. Whoever wins tonight will be the first 15-0 national champion. But now both of these teams have quarterbacks that are projected to be top NFL draft picks. Mm-hmm. Both of them have gotten it done. If Trevor Lawrence had started at the beginning of the season, he would have been right there in the Heisman conversation with Tua Tagovailoa and Kyler Murray. They can both sling the ball all over the field. So I'm really, really interested in watching the game tonight. I think it'll be outstanding.
All right. What do y'all think? Are you going to be camped out watching that at 7 tonight? Let us know. 343-0106.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
Okay. This is for Dalton. This is his hour.
Okay. hope I can answer it.
You will. Yay or nay, will Jalen Hurts come in and make a difference?
I think he'll come in, and I think he will make a difference. Mm-hmm. Kind of saw when Alabama played against Oklahoma in that
second
semifinal
quarter,
game.
He came in
early. They had a package only for Jalen Hurts, and Tua was out on the field also, but they used Jalen Hurts' abilities mm-hmm. as a runner and lined him out and actually faked and ran some jet sweeps with him. I think that they're going to do the exact same thing with him tonight, bring him into the game, and because he always gives you that option of throwing the ball when he gets it in the backfield also.
Very talented. Who do you foresee being called as the MVP of this one?
I think it'll end up being one of the two quarterbacks.
Okay.
I think it's going to be a high-scoring game, and I think both Tua and Trevor Lawrence are going to have good games, and I think whichever team ends up winning, the quarterback of the winning team will be the MVP.
Okay. And then lastly, speaking of winning, what about that college student? Have we found out who won the Billboard Challenge? I don't know why I'm fascinated
by
this.
Yeah, so if y'all didn't realize, they put four fans of the teams that were in the semifinals up on the Billboard, and as their teams lost, they came down. Now, of course, just the Clemson fan. She's a 52-year-old mother of, I think, two or three children.
Oh, she's going
to
win it.
Her complaint has been that she's had for potty breaks, had to go down 72 steps to get off the Billboard in the middle of the night, get out of the warm sleeping bag. Because here's what they did. ESPN put them up on the Billboard. They gave them tents and sleeping bags. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're up there, I guess, on the little walkway in front of the Billboard. So they're camping out there. She says, yeah, that's her problem, is having to get up in the night, get out of the warm sleeping bag, and go down the 72 steps to the potty.
Doesn't she know Depends could have totally sponsored this? I mean, come on. She's a mom. She knows better.
The Tide fan, I guess that kind of stuff, sleeping out on the edge of a Billboard doesn't bother him because he has did three tours in Iraq. So camping out on a Billboard to him probably seems like a vacation.
Right.
So those are the two left.
I think they let them both down from the Billboard so they can go watch the game in person also.
And what is that, up for grabs? They win.
You know, I'm not really sure. We saw that report coming into it, and they haven't. I was just looking for it online, and I haven't seen any reports past the last couple of days. Last report was explaining the two fans, like Sean did, from the one from Clemson and the one from Alabama, but I haven't gotten an update. I do know that they were supposed to come down and go to the championship game, so maybe they'll have an update on that for us tonight on ESPN.
They'll show like a before and after. They'll be out like a makeover and everything. This is going to be fun tonight.
All right, and also when we come back from the break, we'll talk about the government shutdown. Kelly had earlier said the longest government shutdown in history was back during the Clinton administration.
Correct.
94 or 95, something like that. Are we heading for a new record? We'll talk about that and get some clips from the president. I gave commentary before he left for Camp David on Friday.
21 days between December 1995 to January 1996.
All right. We'll talk about that when we return. Let's grab one call here before the break because Mike is in Daphne. Wants to turn over like pineapple turnovers, or what kind of turnovers you want to talk about, Mike?
You know what kind of turnovers I'm talking about.
How you doing, Mike?
Never better.
Great to hear.
Well, Happy New Year to all of you, and what a present this is for tonight to get the New Year going. And I think there's so much speed out there, I think it's going to come out in turnovers.
Mm-hmm.
I hope not. I hope they execute properly and best man wins, but we'll see.
Yeah, turnovers could be a big deal. Also, the special teams, I know a lot of Alabama fans are nervous.
Here you go with the kicking.
If it comes down to the kick game, what will Belovis be able to do? Will he be able to knock it through?
I mean, that's such a jinx. You can't talk about that stuff.
I know that you get on pins and needles whenever I bring up special teams.
But do you think the weather's going to play a factor in this game?
I'm not sure.
The weather's really bad.
I haven't even checked the forecast for tonight.
Yeah, well, it's been bad out there. The weather's been bad.
Well, they've had to cancel a number of the activities that we talked about earlier this week.
So maybe that's good for the Tide. It's good for the Tide. I don't know that. We'll watch it, like somebody in the state, tonight at 7 o'clock. All right, 816 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back. Your phone calls, your text, phone number, text line 343-0106. Hey, thanks, Kane. 821 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings on this Monday. There's more information about a deadly wreck overnight. And now, you know, the The story is 1:35 this morning. You have one vehicle. We have maybe multiple vehicles, but the two vehicles involved in the crash. One vehicle is heading correctly eastbound on I-10, coming out of the Wallace Tunnel, heading correctly eastbound on I-10, and is struck by a vehicle going westbound in the eastbound lanes of I-10. Now, both drivers are dead, as of update from MPD. Both vehicles went into flames as well from this impact, and it's clear it has not been a traffic issue this morning, but a deadly crash, two people dead. And this is not the first time we've reported stories where people are on I-10 or I-65 or other roads going against traffic. And like Kelly said earlier, you have no wiggle room on the Bayway. There's no evasive measure. You got two lanes, and you know, and a little bit of a little edge there before you hit the wall.
And you think about it, we're in the 8 o'clock hour, and we're still talking about fog. So mm-hmm. You don't know how dense that fog was during that time of the morning, and whether or not that other vehicle even had their lights on, because. You know, we hear about these stories, and it's either someone's intoxicated mm-hmm. or they had a medical emergency. Mm-hmm. But you wonder, when did this person hop on the Bayway? At mm-hmm. what point? And how long were they driving on the wrong side of the road before this fatal accident happened? And then the identities. Who are these two people? Yeah. Never made it home. There are families right now being notified or, you know, just having to react to something that could have been avoided.
And I do. I wonder on all these stories, like you said, at what point did they get in the wrong traffic? In other words, think about this. If somebody's getting on to, say you're going to get onto I-10. Y'all picture this. You're going to get onto I-10 somewhere east of the bay. Or maybe they got on at the Causeway exit, but you get on going the wrong way. You had to maybe be in the wrong lanes in the first place on the Causeway or something right. else, because it would be very hard.
Because you can't cross once you're on the Bayway.
Right. It'd be very hard.
Yeah.
Even let's say they got on it. I don't know. None of these things are factual. These are just speculation. Say they got on at Daphne, or they got on at the Malbus exit or something like that. You would have to, if you weren't already going the wrong way,
mm-hmm.
you would have to cross over so funky to get onto the going the wrong way on the, I don't know how you do that. You know what I'm saying? It seemed like it would stand out to somebody that they were getting on the wrong, let alone all the signage. But I'm just saying that it would be so convoluted if you were going the right way, but then got on to the wrong way mm-hmm. to go on the interstate. It would be so convoluted. It would be a clue. It leaves me scratching my head.
I hope if there were anyone that were also on the road who saw this, that they come forward and they speak to police, because there have been times where you see people without their lights on, and you know, you try to honk mm-hmm. your horn and let them know. You think, I hope they turn those on, you know, quickly before something happens. So if there was someone on the interstate around that time of the morning, hopefully you're able to help, you know, investigators maybe figure out how
this
all happened.
If you ever see that, time to get on your phone and, you know, at that point,
right.
you make a call to 911 and mm-hmm. inform authorities on that. And I've never, you know, you're talking about people with their lights off. This is a separate thing. But I pass people when they don't have their lights on, and I go, do they not, let alone notice they can't see out front of their vehicle? Most vehicles, I think the dash display is linked to the headlights, mm-hmm. right? So if you can't see your dash display,
mm-hmm.
you don't know how fast you're going. You don't know.
That's if they have a newer vehicle. One, and I think a number.
Even the old ones, I think, unless something's broken, when you turn on your, to get your dash display on, you got to have headlights
but
on, right?
There are some people who are so dependent upon because of what they're used to. Like, you think about the vehicles where your lights automatically come on when you drive.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're driving a rental car and you're not used to that, you're just assuming, well, my lights are on.
But if you can't see your display in front of you, I don't know.
No.
We'll take some calls on that at 343-0106.
And this is unrelated to the wreck from this morning, but McGowan Park. And as we see more and more traffic circles pop up around town.
Well, that's a different story.
Well,
it is. It's a roundabout mm-hmm. Or traffic circle.
Death circle.
For the third or fourth time this week, we were driving into McGowan Park to get some eating done, some shopping done, and saw another car take a left.
Oh.
In the circle and head the wrong way around the roundabout. And thankfully this time no one was coming around to hit them head on. But that's another thing, man. The people just, they seem to not really exactly know how those work.
Wow. So, yeah, just trying to figure these things out and how they happen. I mean, this is not just a rhetorical question, a real one. I think we need answers to. All right. It was Friday as the president was heading to Camp David and talked about the shutdown and maybe what would be done with the border wall.
We're looking at a national emergency because we have a national emergency. Just read the papers. We have a crisis at the border of drugs, of human beings being trafficked all over the world. They're coming through. And we have an absolute crisis, and of criminals and gang members coming through. It is national security. It's a national emergency.
Okay, now Democrats are saying President Trump would face legal and political challenges if he tries to declare a national emergency to build the border wall with Mexico. House Armed Services Committee Chairman Adam Smith said the executive power has been used to build military facilities in Iraq and Afghanistan, but would likely be, quote, wide open, end quote, to a court challenge for the wall along the U.S.-Mexico border. Where's the emergency? The Washington Democrat said on ABC's This Week. Intelligence Committee Chairman Adam Schiff called this a non-starter. The California Democrat tells CNN's State of the Union, look, if Harry Truman couldn't nationalize the steel industry during wartime, this president doesn't have the power to declare an emergency and build a multi-billion dollar wall on the border, end quote. The president said yesterday that he's in no hurry also to name official replacements for several cabinet-level positions in his administration. He said, well, I'm in no hurry. I have acting administration officials, and my actings are doing really great. President Trump told that to reporters before departing for his staff retreat at Camp David. So we'll talk more about that at 343-0106, 343-0106. Bill is in Mobile, wants to talk headlights. Hey, Bill.
Hey, how are you doing today?
Doing good. The car headlight thing, has this left you scratching your head?
Well, I was listening to what you're saying about how the dash lights come on automatically when you turn on your headlights. I've got a car that when you start to drive, when you turn it on and put it in gear, the marker lights, the little yellow ones and red ones, mm-hmm. come on, and the dash lights come on, and I have been driving and realized, because you're going down the interstate in town and you got all the street lights, so everything's lit up, you don't realize your headlights aren't on.
Yeah. All right, so yep. it puts on what we call the parking lights, but not the headlights?
Right, the parking lights come on, but the dash lights are on with it.
Okay, so yeah, and I guess my truck does that too. You can have mm-hmm. but you do have some lights on the vehicle then.
You have some lights, just not the headlights.
Almost like it's lit just enough where you think your exteriors are on, but they're not. And again, if you're not used to that vehicle, if you swap vehicles, whether for work or for play, then there are people who are waving you down, trying to tell you to turn your lights on. And you just think they're being friendly. You're just a wave.
Yeah. Well, I've taken off to go down in Mississippi, and it's been until I got to the Mississippi state line before I realized my headlights weren't on.
Yep.
Because there's all those street lights keeping it lit up, and my dash lights are on. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm good. And then I get to Mississippi, and all of a sudden I'm in the dark, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. And then you have to turn them on.
Well, that's a good point, Bill, and I appreciate you bringing that up. I guess, I've gotten to be the opposite as it's getting harder and harder for me to see at night. I'm truly become an old guy that I have actually gotten out of my truck before and you parked it and looked because it just does not look like my headlights are bright enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm tempted to do the switch out with the super brights, but I don't want to get everybody flashing. But, you can get some aftermarket headlights.
Yeah.
And I mean, they're on. It's just like as my night vision starts to fail, I feel like they're not bright enough.
You'd rather be seen.
I'd rather see stuff.
And also see.
I'm going to start running some KC lights on top of the truck.
Oh, boy.
That'll get you a ticket. Don't do that, y'all. 830 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back. FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Glad to have you along. Sean Kelly Dalton. Dr. Bill's got our weather. Kane's got our traffic. Speaking of traffic, talking about that fatal accident last night, 1:30 this morning on the Bayway on I-10, had a vehicle traveling against traffic. And thank you. Ben sent me a note here. I was like, this has happened before for sure. And then he's sending me a note where he and I were interacting back on October 11th on this story. said, don't know if you can go back and watch LDOT cams on the causeway, but I had a wrong way driver pass me and get stopped on the under the bayway about 15 or 20 minutes ago. And then I used an expletive and said, you know, darn it. I said, darn it, with a MN. How close? And he said she was heading east in the westbound lane. I was westbound fast lane. I was in the westbound slow lane pulling the trailer with tenant lumber. Luckily, two cops were parked under the bayway and stopped her. So there's that was on October 11th. A friend of ours had that interaction. And I've seen it before, but I've seen it more. I think I've only seen it on surface streets, and it's been like, oh, wow, that just happened. And now you have a situation where you're on the bayway, high rate of speed, most likely. I mean, not saying speeding, but I mean, 55 is a high rate of speed if you have somebody coming at that same speed towards you, and both drivers dead in that accident.
And so much scarier on the bayway like that because your options are so limited. If you're the driver that's doing the right thing and you're trying to get out of the way, I mean, there's not a whole lot of room to move right there.
Yeah. Thinking back, and I've had... Told you we had that situation happen years ago. We were coming back from the Smoky Mountains, and we had a car from northbound 65 wreck and go end over end in front and basically over our hood and land on the other side. But that was, they had been traveling in the proper northbound lanes, but went careening over. Thomas says he's got some more intel on this. Yeah, Thomas.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being here. So, what you got?
Pardon?
I said, what do you have? You have some new information?
Oh, no, it's not new. It was I just called my wife when Kelly was asking those questions. My wife was up. She's up most of the night, Dancing with Flowers. That's her name. She's at 1/8 Cherokee, if you didn't know that. But she said that according to the film, the camera shots from TV5, that there was no fog. It was clear. It was clear when the accident happened, and they could see the fire and everything. And that there were calls, people had made calls to the authorities while they saw the person driving the wrong way before the accident actually happened, Kelly.
And there were calls? Is that what you said,
Thomas?
Yes,
there were calls. TV5 had couple people on tape. I guess you
did
called
it. Did it called in? And by the way, I put this out while we're talking about this, because I know there's folks in law enforcement listen to this show. What is the protocol? If y'all can hit me up on the text line or you want to call in, what should somebody do? What is it, a 911 call if you see somebody going the wrong way? I mean, I would imagine that is true, but I look for some clarity here from somebody in law enforcement. What if we see a situation like this? What do we need to do? What is the best situation? What is the fastest response? What does a motorist need to do? Please let us know. Text line 343-0106, or you can call in. I mean, I think we're correct in saying call 911, but I want to make sure. Thomas, thanks for that extra info on that. We appreciate it.
And yes, Thomas, thank you. And in those situations, also be mindful of the fact of all the personnel that's working on that scene, because it's so easy to think, okay, well, let me just try to get past this if one of the lanes were open. But a lot of times you hear about, you know, police and fire and those who are responding, EMT, who have to get out of the way for another accident to avoid another accident happening. So if there is something going on, if you can safely get somewhere and make the appropriate phone call, that's always a great reminder. And these vehicles, how many thousands of pounds do these vehicles weigh? It only takes a second for the situation to change. So please just be safe out there and buckle up.
Absolutely. All right. Checking a couple other stories here. Shutdown day 17, I think, going on. And the president is sticking to his guns, as are Democrats. So you have both sides having, like I said last week, I think, painted themselves into a corner. Mm-hmm. The president has, and the Democrats, when the Democrats said $1, I think it was Nancy Pelosi, would be immoral. For the wall, we're going to end up with if there's any kind of negotiation, it'll be on the semantics of what it is. It'll be, oh, well, a wall is immoral, but a fence is not, or something like that. It'll be, the discussion of funding. Don't belabor the point that we don't have the money in Washington. That's never stopped y'all before.
That's why they had to go to weekend school this weekend, all those meetings that they had.
They didn't leave them so politically. It seems like they did not leave themselves the middle ground as usual where they would do the negotiation. And it seems like both sides have made pretty concrete statements when it comes to what they will and won't do in this negotiation. And I don't know if we do not set a new record here. President said it could be months, could be years for the shutdown. That might be some hyperbole. But how long does it go? And how long before y'all would think that this has gone on too long?
And then there's some people hopping sides. You know, Senator Susan Collins, Republican from Maine, she says, let's get those reopened while the negotiations continue. Acting Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney said on Meet the Press, he says that if the shutdown continues into Tuesday, then payroll will not go out as originally planned on Friday night. So we're talking about money, we're talking about shutdown, we're talking about furloughed workers and how this is impacting the various people in their capacities.
Do you think this kind of is going to come down to a game of chicken, basically? Who can, you have President Trump on one side and you have Nancy Pelosi on the other, and whoever, once all of these workers that aren't getting paid, once it really starts to hit,
the heat's turned up,
and because I think I read something somewhere where this would be like Target, if Target were shut down, it would be twice as many employees not getting paid as that works at Target. That's how many federal employees there are involved in this. Once it really starts getting tough here in the next few weeks, who will outlast the other, Trump or Pelosi? Well,
and usually there's some kind of gray area for the negotiation. That's why I keep going back. Both sides are making it harder for themselves politically. Not for what's good and right for the American people, but politically, both sides have made it harder to come to any compromise. I want to go to the phones in a second, folks, Holden, but I want to read a couple texts here from Terry. Terry, I know, works in law enforcement. Listen to this, Kelly, for talking about the accident site and getting through. You want to get some heebie-jeebies? Terry says, I've been hit by the mirrors or brushed by vehicles while working an accident scene 5 times over his career.
But I'm so thankful
the mirror
Terry
hitting you
has been able to even send that text that Terry's alive.
Being brushed by a mirror or hit by a car on that. Bob, I hear you. Bob said, I've not been able to see whether or not my headlights are on, only to find out that I had a thick, hazy film over the headlights that reduced the light beam. It was so bad I had to get them buffed out of the detail shop. What a difference it made. Bob, right now I'm with a new truck, but with the old trucks, absolutely. You get that haze over them, and you might not be able to see quite well. I think it's just I'm losing my vision, to be frank with you. All right, let's go to the phones, and let's go to Mike in Mobile. Hey, Mike.
How you doing?
Doing good, man. So what's your thoughts on this?
I think people are just inherently lazy and don't care about anything but themselves. I do a lot of driving in Mobile County, and last week I counted over 40 people driving with their headlights off when they should have been on, either while it was raining or when it was dark.
40? Mm-mm. Holy 40 cow.
Over. And I just started, because it's infuriating to me. I mean, because one of them almost hit one because I couldn't see it. It was a gray car at night with no lights on.
Mm-mm-mm.
None whatsoever.
Holy cow.
None. And most of them have no lights on whatsoever.
And that's the thing gets me is how do you not see, and I know there's going to be exceptions, but generally, if you can't see your, if you don't have your lights on, you can't see your dash display. That seems to be
I agree. And the funny thing about this is that it's new cars and old cars. I mean, brand new cars. People riding down the road with their lights not turned on. How does that happen?
You're asking the guy that can't answer that. I don't know either, Mike. I don't know. I appreciate the call.
And what about the people with no tags yet? You know, they don't have a plate. They seem to have the most fun on the roads because you can't even identify them.
So we have
for a tag.
Yeah, written with a crayon. Tag applied for. You have a situation where you have people walking the streets of Mobile the wrong way, walking like with traffic, wearing dark colored clothing at night, and then you have vehicles that don't have their lights on.
Huh? Don't forget the headphones.
Yeah, headphones on too. And then you have vehicles that don't have their headlights on. Yikes. All right, 8:46, coming right back. All right, 850 FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings. FMTalk1065.com. That's the website. Phone number 343-0106. Also works for a text. A couple things we're talking about here. Government shutdowns and people driving with no headlights. And also people driving the wrong way. How they get on the interstate. Now, on surface streets, maybe I can see a situation that way, but on the interstate, it takes a lot of doing. If you just kind of run that in your mind, to kind of play it out in your mind, think about getting on I-10 or I-65 and think about getting on the wrong way. How that, let alone the signage, it tells you you're going the wrong way, but it's just, it's funky how you'd have to, it wouldn't feel, it would feel weird. So
yeah, it's just like those the people who drive 18-wheelers who try to go through the wrong tunnel. You know what I mean? I mean, the signage is there.
The little thing you hit is there, but that's it's a whole other story. All right, Fireball is in Mobile up next. Hey, Fireball.
Hey guys, y'all doing a wonderful job. How y'all doing this morning?
We're doing good, man, and hadn't talked to you in the new year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Now, ask me how I'm doing.
How are you doing, Fireball?
It ain't nothing to it, just like my paycheck.
We're going to just record that and play it when you come on. So what about the, speaking of paychecks and nothing doing, what about this government shutdown?
Sean, tell me this. Has the Democrats ever went for anything that Trump is trying to do for the country?
Let's see.
No,
I would say maybe there was some action on infrastructure, but it didn't happen.
Yeah, I think they worked together on some opioid.
Yeah, the opioid bill. So there's a couple things, but yes, I get what you're saying.
I heard that they made a vow that they would not go for anything or vote for anything that Trump did for the country, and look what he's done for the country.
But
the Democrats don't have any kind of idea what our country needs or what our citizens need, because they've got too much hatred for Trump.
Well, that's why I point out that the discussion that this is about dollars. Now, I wish it was, Fireball, but the Democrats, when they would say, well, this is about, the budget and how much money we're spending, come on, it's not. It's let's get over that. It's not about money. Like I said, if there was a big Ed McMahon check from Mexico or wherever, shows up at the Treasury, here's $5 billion to pay for the wall, Democrats still wouldn't be for it. So they should just argue what they're arguing. They think it's it's immoral. Now, I can make the argument that there's plenty of people that have been there a while, not the new kids on the block in Washington, but there are Democrats that have been in Washington that have voted for fencing and different security measures on the border in the past. So there was it immoral then, or is it immoral now, and why did it change? I think that's a worthwhile question. But yeah, this is just from the political strategy game, Fireball. They're not going to let this would be a signature win for Donald Trump, something he could use going into 2020. I don't see them letting him have it, and I see him not moving at all either. So I don't know how the negotiation is going to happen.
That's right. So you know, I'm old school. Y'all know I'm 65 years old, closing in. Good on 66 and ready to retire.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think that the government needs to look out for their American citizens, their veterans, their homeless in the United States before they give any money to illegal aliens.
All right. Yeah, and that would be what, spending the money on the wall?
Yes, part of it. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We don't need any more undocumented people, immigrants in here. If they go through the steps to be a legal immigrant, United States citizens, I'm all for it, but not because you got people here that's killing people, been dealt with crimes, been shipped back to where they came from, and they come over here 8-9 times.
There we go. Fireball, appreciate the call.
We are in our 16th day of this shutdown.
Oh, 16,
we were talking about
17.
It earlier.
Sorry.
It's hard to keep up with it. National Park Service says that they're going to use visitor fees to keep up their parks, keep them up and running. Hundreds of TSA screeners who are forced to work without pay are calling in sick.
A sick out.
Yeah, and you're trying to fly somewhere. You know how long those lines are going to really be now? Millions of people could lose their food stamps. And, of course, we've talked about last week how your tax refunds could be delayed. All this happening and while both sides go at it.
That there's the one that will get attention, I think.
Yep.
It's when people don't get their money. That will be, now I know there's a lot of federal workers who wouldn't get their money, but you're talking about across the fruited plain.
That's right.
When people don't get money.
Because you can do all the paperwork, okay? Mm-hmm. You can do your end, but your refund, it's not coming until they can figure this out because there's nobody there to handle your refund.
It'll be like Alabama a couple years ago when our state returns were delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed and delayed. Greg in beautiful Orange Beach up next. Hey, man.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
Good morning.
And lady.
Well,
you know, firstly, the Democrats are not going to vote in favor of this very small amount of money that he's asking for the wall, primarily because they hate Trump more than they care about America or Americans. When you consider the amount of money that we give away in foreign aid to other countries, what the Democrats have already supported in the past, this is nothing more than pure Trump derangement syndrome. They just hate Trump. And truly, I think, as far as I'm concerned, the government can stay shut down until they fund the border wall. But I think we're entering into an era of, complete discord, and it would not surprise me at all if we don't have civil unrest over all this.
That would mean people would have to get off their couch, though, Greg. I mean, I don't fear people call me like civil unrest is coming. I'm like, people would have to get off their couch to have civil unrest, and it's probably if they could do it on Facebook, there'd probably be a bigger chance of civil unrest. If they have to actually get out and do it, might not.
And I think the title game being tonight, the Clemson Bama fatigue, is kind of fitting for this, because I think people have government shutdown fatigue. I don't think it means what it used to mean.
When things like this happen, and it happens over and over, people end up, the shock value does wear off. And Supermom says on the text line, these federal employees not getting paid during a shutdown, is it a known fact when they accepted the job? I'm just curious. You know, I don't know, Supermom, if it shows up in the, I don't think it shows up in your sheets, your packet you get when you sign on. You could argue that maybe they have seen it in the past, know this could be a possibility, but it's a, it's not a good thing. I mean, people are going to work. Those that you have one of two things: either you're furloughed, you're not going to work, and you're not getting paid, or you're going to work and you're not getting a paycheck. Now, I've said before many times in the history of this, they always have gotten paid on the backside. But, you know, 5 or 6 days, I'll say, you know, come on, this is just a political hiccup. When you start going a month or two, when you go two pay cycles, for a lot of Americans, it's probably not a great thing that we don't prepare any better, but for a lot of Americans, missing two pay cycles will be a real impediment and really tough on their life. So we'll watch this and talk about it more coming up on the Midday Show today, starting at noon. All right, y'all have a great one.